Republicans in the Senate unveiled their own bill to roll back many parts of the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare. It's the latest move in Congress to dismantle one of President Obama's signature policies while he was in office.
Senate leadership aims to vote on the bill ahead of the July 4th recess, but the GOP Senate bill could hit a snag from within its own party, as some Republican senators have said that they don't think they'll be able to vote on the bill as it stands, including Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson.
Donna Friedsam joins us now. She's a researcher and health policy programs director at the University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute. Donna, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be with you.
Well, big picture, how different is this Senate bill from the House Republican health care plan passed a little while back?
Well, it makes some fairly significant changes from the House plan, but overall, I would say that it shares one thing in common, which is it doesn't dismantle completely the Obamacare structure. It retains for many years the tax subsidies for purchasing health insurance and the exchange structure that we know. And it also uses this method of passing a bill for repealing and replacing Obamacare to make substantial changes to the Medicaid program.
And Medicaid, let's talk about that. That seems to be getting a lot of the attention. What would change in Medicaid under the Senate plan?
The Senate plan has quite substantial changes to the Medicaid program, similar to the House bill, the AHCA. Both bills, the Senate bill today as well as the House bill, would change the longstanding Medicaid program from what it is today being an entitlement program, to either a per capita cap or a block grant to states, both of them being limiting federal contribution in the long term and transferring more federal funding responsibility to state governments.
I want to listen to President Trump talking about the new bill coming out at a news event earlier today. Here's a listen.
I think it's going to come out. Obamacare is a disaster. It's dead, totally dead. And we're putting in a plan today that's going to be negotiated. We'd love to have some Democrat support, but they're obstructionists. They'll never support. We won't get one, no matter how good it is. But we will hopefully get something done, and it'll be something with heart and very meaningful.
Let's talk about that first point, Obamacare, disaster, it's dead. And we've heard that another insurer is withdrawing coverage from some places, including some counties in Wisconsin. Today that news is out. Is this a case where we need to replace a program that's really falling apart?
So the news that Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield is withdrawing from Wisconsin counties is not a signal that the Affordable Care Act is dead in Wisconsin. The Blue Cross Blue Shield plans were a very small part of the Wisconsin market, and we still have 14 insurance carriers that are offering plans in Wisconsin through the Affordable Care Act. We haven't heard, in fact, we have had preliminary confirmation that those plans are planning on offering through the exchange in the coming year. So the program continues in a fairly robust way in Wisconsin, and we have about 230,000 people in our state who have selected plans in 2017 through and about 190,000 of them are receiving the premium tax credits. That's not to say there aren't problems with Obamacare, and in fact we hear about other states where there's very little insurance coverage or availability in certain counties. And the difference is that we have a very vibrant insurance market in our state with many insurance carriers, and other states are more reliant on these large national carriers who have been less interested in providing insurance products through the Obamacare marketplace. So it really varies depending on what state people are in, but there are a number of states where the Affordable Care Act is still functioning very well, and then in some states it's not doing well at all.
President Trump, as candidate Trump, had distinguished himself from his Republican primary opponents as the one candidate who wouldn't call for or allow Medicaid cuts. In this plan, in effect, are we seeing Medicaid cuts?
This plan has quite substantial Medicaid reductions. It looks like it's about a 25% reduction over 10 years, and so this is similar to the House bill that also had very substantial reductions in Medicaid funding. There would be a transfer of what is currently federal cost sharing that would change to state responsibility for funding the Medicaid program overall. And in general, an expectation that there would be a decline in enrollment in Medicaid over a number of years.
And some people have been pointing toward the year 2025 under the Senate plan. The way Medicaid increases are calculated, it would change. It wouldn't be connected to the Consumer Price Index overall, or the Medical Consumer Price Index. It would go to the Consumer Price Index.
Right.
It seems like a subtle point, but the effect, it sounds like, would be very substantial reductions in the amount that Medicaid goes up from year to year, that it wouldn't be able to keep up with rising medical costs. Is that right?
People expect that to be the case. Frankly, in either case, whether it is the Consumer Price Index medical or whether it's just the straight CPI, it will be difficult for states to manage their Medicaid program costs under that rate of increase. But certainly changing it from the CPI medical to the straight CPI does present an additional challenge to states and will likely make them have to either reduce the program enrollment or benefit, the amount of benefits covered or the payments to providers, or else in some way figure out how to find some kinds of efficiencies that today we're not aware of in order to save expenses under the program.
Donna Friedsam is with us, researcher and health policy programs director at the University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute. She's with us today for a look at the new Senate health care plan.
And you can join the conversation by calling 800-642-1234. What do you think of the new Senate bill? What do you think about Obamacare potentially going away? And do you think repealing and replacing the Affordable Care Act is a good idea or a bad idea? Call us at 800-642-1234 or leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. We continue our conversation now with Donna Friedsam from UW-Madison's Population Health Institute, looking at the details of the Senate Republican health care plan.
And you can join us at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts on the Senate's new health care plan? What are your thoughts on this battle over the Affordable Care Act? And what would you like to see lawmakers accomplish with new health care laws? Call us at 800-642-1234, or you can also leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
And this isn't a done deal yet, of course. Donna, some GOP senators are saying they're not on board with this yet. I want to give a listen to Wisconsin Republican Senator Ron Johnson. He is among a group of four senators who wrote a letter expressing concern. Here he is on CNN today.
What I've told leadership very clearly is I'm going to need time, and my constituents are going to need time to evaluate exactly how this is going to affect them. So I personally think that holding a vote on this next week would definitely be rushed. I can't imagine, quite honestly, that I'd have the information to evaluate and justify a yes vote within just a week.
So, Donna, still some negotiation likely to go on here. What kind of things do you think are going to be at play? What should we be watching for that might change?
Well, there's several things of concern, and they vary depending on the perspective of the senators, of course. More conservative senators, and I would place Senator Johnson in that category, tend to be concerned about how much the bill is retaining of the current Obamacare structure and the kinds of tax subsidies that will continue into the future. But as well, a number of states have concerns about the Medicaid expansion. Of course, Wisconsin does not have a Medicaid expansion under the Affordable Care Act, so Wisconsin's concern tends to be how it treats states that did not participate in the Medicaid expansion. But many of the senators that represent states that did expand Medicaid, and there are several Republican senators that do represent Medicaid expansion states, are quite concerned about what's going to happen to those Medicaid expansion states. But ultimately, all the senators are concerned about the the significant decline in federal funding for Medicaid and how it's going to affect their states. I do think, though, particularly the four senators that came out today with their statement, in addition, have a concern about how much this is possibly retaining of the current tax subsidies going into the future, and the structure of the subsidies, and who it's going to benefit, and who it might not benefit as much.
Let's go to our callers now. Terry is on the line in Green Bay. Terry, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for having me on. First of all, I think this entire bill needs to be thrown out, but we need to do what we can to support the ACA and the marketplaces and give people, individuals, the opportunity to buy health insurance. We need to continue to move in that direction. But at the same time, too, he played some comments from Senator Johnson there, who said he wants public input. He wants constituents to weigh in. I want to know what that is going to look like. Is it going to be town halls? Is this going to be debated across the state? Is this going to be debated across the country? This needs to be a debate. It needs to have public hearings, expert testimony, and a lot of talk around the conversation of healthcare across the nation.
Terry, thanks a lot for that call. And Don, I know you focus a lot on the policy side of things. Are you concerned about the process side of things as well? Possibly a rush to do some complicated legislation?
Well, I think a lot of people have noted that this has been a process that has not been as open as might have been, and this addresses us 1/6 of the U.S. economy. So it is a very serious policy, and people want to make sure that whatever happens is going to improve the lives of the population, and that we carefully consider the effects on various states and on various groups of people. So I think Terry makes a very valid point there, and Senator Johnson, as well as Senator Baldwin, and people all across the spectrum have said we need to discuss this, and this is difficult to be done, you know, when the bill was done behind closed doors and is being done in a very rushed manner. I think people have voiced some concerns around that. At the same time, others have recognized that this is such a highly politicized process that some people feel that the only way they could have even gotten a bill written and to the floor would have been through this kind of more secretive process. That being said, I believe that whatever happens over the next week, we're going to be seeing the CBO score, and just like we saw in the House, if there are not going to be enough votes, and they're going to need the 50 votes in order to pass this, then they won't bring it to a vote by next week. So ultimately, it's going to be up to people to contact their senators to voice their concerns or whether they support the bill and want to see them vote yes, or if they're against the bill, or if they just would like the process to slow down. They are going to need to voice that to their Senate offices and let them know what they would like their senators to do.
Terry, thanks for the call. We'll go next to Joan in Eau Claire. Joan, hi.
Hi. My comment is that the Affordable Care Act was set up by President Obama out of compassion for people who needed health care. And it was just that, affordable, the Affordable Care Act, with all these cuts in this, what's called to be Trump Care, what have you, with all the cuts to Medicare, Medicaid, it's going to be an unaffordable care act. I'm seeing no compassion in any of these senators that are voting for this. I'm seeing no compassion in the people who really, well, for it, for instance, the insurance companies as well, because they want to just opt out. That's my comment, and thank you for allowing me to speak.
Joan, thanks for the call. Donna, do we have an idea? I know the CBO will still score this. Do we have an idea of how this Senate plan would affect affordability and overall coverage rates?
So, of course, the bill was just released this morning, so we don't have a lot of very strong empirical analyses. But from what we can see so far, it would suggest that there's not a lot that's going to affect the overall cost of health care, or really very little to nothing that's going to affect the overall cost of health care. It's very likely that premiums will go down a little bit particularly for younger people, and will go up more substantially for older people. That's what it appears from my reading today and from many other analysts' reading. Deductibles are very likely to go up for most people under this plan the way it's written. And in terms of the number of people covered, that remains unclear. There is a possibility that coverage losses won't be as great as they are projected to be under the House version of the bill. But there is also, under this bill, no mandate for coverage, and there is no penalty for non-continuous coverage, and that was a provision within the House bill. So the question is, what is there to compel younger, healthier people to buy coverage under this bill, particularly given that the provisions that suggest that the plans will cover much less? There's something called actuarial value in the bill that talks about covering only 58% of the average person's expenses, and that's different than the Affordable Care Act, where the average plan was supposed to cover 60 to 70% of an average person's expenses. So it's really going to depend on what there is in the bill that's going to get people to participate. And on this early reading, it seems that we will see some overall coverage losses, perhaps younger, healthier people deciding to pick up some minimal coverage, but it's not quite clear yet.
We'll leave it there for now. An ongoing story. Donna, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Have a good day.
That was Donna Friedsam, researcher and health policy programs director at the University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute. She joined us today to talk about the Senate's health care plan, a draft of that plan released by Senate Republicans earlier today. You can still weigh in with your thoughts on this issue. You can tweet us at Central Time WPR, or head over to the Central Time Facebook page and share your thoughts while you're there.
High levels of the air pollutant ozone still plague a few Wisconsin counties along the Lake Michigan shoreline. This month, a team of scientists has been taking to the sky and water in that region to better map the source of some of the chemicals that create ozone. The gas can be harmful to breathe and is a main ingredient of urban smog. Chuck Kornbach reports.
Health alerts called ozone advisories aren't as common as they used to be. You can partly thank cars for that. Most vehicles these days put out less of the emissions that form harmful ozone on sunny days. Same goes for many industrial smokestacks. But on June 2nd and the 11th, the Wisconsin DNR announced that ozone levels in five counties along Lake Michigan had entered an orange category. That meant the air those days was unhealthy for sensitive groups like the elderly, children, and people with respiratory ailments. It's no surprise to scientist Brad Pierce of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, that ozone remains a concern along the western shore of the lake. He says this time of year, wind often brings cooler air off the water to collide with warmer air over the land.
What that does is it leads to transport of pollutants from along the shore, Chicago, Milwaukee, and various point sources along the way, and they tend to narrow themselves and converge right along the lakeshore.
Pierce, who's based at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, says ground monitors show ozone readings right along the lake are higher than just a few miles inland. At least one major study in the 1990s looked into the issue, but Pierce, lead researcher on this year's effort, says another look is justified because monitoring technology has improved. He also says various businesses that find it tougher to expand when there's a local ozone problem have asked for more measurements. Some of the readings are being taken miles in the air. A plane owned by the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, or NASA, prepares for takeoff from Truax Field in Madison. It's heading for high above Lake Michigan near Sheboygan. NASA scientist Jay Alsati says a sophisticated instrument on board called GeoTasso will try to create a two-dimensional map of plumes of ozone and another chemical, nitrogen dioxide.
We're trying to find what is the most efficient bang for the buck, really. What types of emissions are contributing to poor air quality in particular areas, and under what conditions.
The ozone study also makes use of a research boat. This NOAA vessel has been taking EPA scientists up and down the lake. At the Sheboygan Harbor, EPA researcher David Williams says holes in the mast take in air that goes to computers below deck for analyzing. Williams says there's a typical pattern.
So in the morning you'll see higher numbers of the nitrogen compounds, and then the ozone starts forming and converts that nitrogen compounds into ozone. So we get higher ozone measurements in the afternoon.
Also at Sheboygan, UW-Madison space science and engineering researcher Tim Wagner has spent a lot of the last month in a trailer filled with a bank of computer screens and instruments that measure wind, temperature, and air particles. Wagner says he's looking at how the conditions might affect the pollutants.
We can use that to create better models, to better forecast when the bad air days are going to be. We can help narrow down where we need to start doing better pollution control.
The ozone research project comes as President Donald Trump's EPA has given states another year to comply with tougher ozone limits approved by President Barack Obama. The scientists emphasize any decision about whether their findings will lead to changes in ozone laws is up to politicians and agency administrators. Chuck Kornbach, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, Amazon is buying Whole Foods, adding to its huge role in the American and global economies. Our guest says the internet giant is creating a new kind of monopoly.
We'll find out how a change in healthcare laws could affect hospitals in Wisconsin, especially when it comes to charitable support for low-income patients.
And on Food Friday, Lori Skelton is back to share the secrets of great summer salads using fresh seasonal produce.
That and more coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.